sports and politics.
You wanna get ready to rumble?
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Gentlemen, it's a Saturday morning right here in the good old United States of America, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's Mr. FSP to you, along with JT, ATM, Mr. Cash Out, Mr. Playoff, Money in the Bank. What's going on, JT?
How you doing, my man? How's things going?
It's going. I got an update for that situation we talked about yesterday. We're going to talk
okay.
about it live on the air.
No problem.
And I'm going to get your thoughts on it. But ladies and gentlemen, today, Jerry and I will talk about the NFL games that have real NFL playoff implications, meaning you win and you're in. The only game that has that is the battle of the two worst divisional teams that are going to be below 500 but going to the playoffs, Carolina and Atlanta, along with Detroit and Green Bay, especially since want to be the division champion and along with that be the either number one or number two seed in the playoffs, and the other having to go on the road to possibly – face the winner of the Carolina-Atlanta game. So those two games intertwined. We're going to talk about those a lot along with the other games. Also, we have a fantasy matchup. Not the one we both were counting on. Not the one we both were counting on, but we're going to face each other this upcoming weekend. And there's some interesting developments within that league we're going to talk about today along with our matchup. I talked to Jerry about it yesterday. We're going to bring it here live on the air and get your thoughts on it. Also, there's some NBA action as well as what's going on with Kobe along with Kevin Durant and all these other players and how the East is being won currently by Toronto, Atlanta, and Washington in the NBA. Now, listen, you can call in on our phone number, 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220 if you want to get your words in and talk about what you want to talk about. But today we're going to hear from Mark Trestman about the Chicago Bears and how he feels the team is going to go into this last game, along with Jim Harbaugh in a very similar situation. We'll also hear from Bruce Arians about rescinding his decree that Logan was going to start. Now Ryan Lindell is starting, and Drew Stanton having arthroscopic knee surgery, ending his season. We'll also hear from, let me see, who else are we going to hear from, JT? We're going to hear from Randall Cobb on the Packers offense, how they're going to try to defeat that Detroit Lion defense, which is very tough, very, very tough. That and a bunch more here on this episode. So with that being said, I want to welcome everybody in. If you want to come to our page and get in the chat room, you can go there, post your questions, post your comments. We might even answer them on air. But with that being said, JT, talk to me. What do you want to get off your chest before we get the ball rolling?
Our league.
Okay. So
I'm very interested to find this out.
Where do you want to begin? You want to give a breakdown to the listeners and then get into the information I found out? Or how do you want to
set it up? Set it up, and then we go from
okay.
there.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we run a fantasy league, a Yahoo league. I'm the commissioner. I made Jerry the co-commissioner in my absence while I was overseas and stuff like that, so we can handle some stuff while I wasn't there or didn't have the ability to do so. And he's forgotten that he's the co-commissioner. But nevertheless, a couple things have been bothering me, and I thought that, you know, everything was kosher after I felt that God had fixed the issue by week before last against a team that I thought was extremely stacked. And, you know, I didn't fight it. I didn't jump up and down about it, but I thought there was some shenanigans going on. But I didn't post it. I didn't make a big deal about it. Well, I lost last week in my semifinal game, along with Jerry. He lost as well. And everything was kosher until yesterday when I received a phone call. One of the persons playing.
You got to say that again. You received a phone call.
Yeah, I received a phone call from one of the persons playing in the championship. Matter of fact, the guy that defeated Jerry called me. And he proceeded to tell me that a deal was in place between he and the gentleman that beat me to split the pot. A certain percentage. Not what I had set up as payment for winner and loser, but they had come to an agreement on how to divvy it up. To me, again, I didn't hear from the other person yet. I'm heated because I'm like, these guys just cheated. They just made some type of agreement to, no matter if we have a game or not, because both of them are going to get paid. One's going to get paid less than the other, but the one that was going to get paid the shorter share is going to get more than what I intended as the commissioner and I put out. So I'm talking to the guy. He tells me how he feels about it, and I tell him how I feel about it. Then I'm like, look, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you two guys sort that out. I would not have liked to know that they had made that deal. Whatever they decided to do, it was none of my business. I wouldn't have any suspicious bones in my body because it's none of my business what they decide to do. However, it was brought to my attention, and as the commissioner, I have to then think about why this took place. Why is the winner willing to take less money and give a loser pretty much double their money? And the individual that the computers says should win and probably is going to win is the one that originally, and this is the part that I just learned out yesterday, Jerry, originally said no, but then was on the phone with a third party, and they were just talking, and the third party suggested a negotiation. So this individual then called the first person, and they then negotiated a deal. Now, from what I was told last night, I was told that I was not supposed to know about the deal. That's why I was never originally told about the deal that happened on Wednesday. Now, mind you, ladies and gentlemen, I, you know, chat with one of the individuals quite a bit, and not once was it mentioned to me that this was in place. And this is the one that told me, okay, well, I originally said no, but then, you know, I started talking to somebody else, and then we started thinking about other things, and I said, sure. But come to find out, when I talked to this individual, Mr. Taylor, he says he didn't even think about losing that extra bit of money because he was going to be nice.
What?
That's what he said. It didn't even cross his mind. So,
come on, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, that's the short version of that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I concluded that the third party really didn't do much other than supply a phone number and all the other stuff. But the idea that a split of the pot, other than what I, you know, stated came up, and, you know, the person initially calling me, I came up with the fact that, or the thought that that person's trying to make sure that he gets portion because he's projected to lose. Now, I don't know if he trusts the other individual or not, but he made sure that I knew that there was a deal in place. Whereas the other party was, he told me, well, I was going to tell you afterwards anyway. So, there it is, Mr. Taylor. The short abridged version, because we got some stuff we got to talk about. Have at it as co-commissioner. Say what you would like to say. And we'll do some other stuff.
Well, I still say something's up. I mean, the answer you got from the other party was he was just being nice. Come on. And I got a bridge that I can sell you cheap. And I'm just being nice, and I'll give you a discount on that bridge. Come on. I've never heard of that. And I'm pretty sure anybody who's played fantasy football and gotten to the championship, and quite naturally, there's a difference between who wins it and who comes in second place, is willing to give the person, whoever loses, a share of the winner's cut. Never heard of it. Not that I say it doesn't happen, but I've never heard of it. Why would you take less that you play the game for X amount of weeks, you're lucky and fortunate enough to get to the championship to be able to gather the prize that you were playing for, and then you're going to give up a portion of that to the person you beat. Now, can be nice, but most people are going to take the whole prize and say thank you very much, and we'll see you next year to see if you can come back and get to the same spot. And then maybe you can win the whole pot. Not, I'm going to give you a cut, even if you, because you lost, I'll give you a cut of mine. No. No. So, I don't know what to make of it. We got to talk about this, I guess, off air. I know we talked about it yesterday, but what's going to take place in the future, something's not right. If it walks, talks, smells, and looks like a duck, then it must be what they call the proverbial duck. So, and this looks like a four-letter word other than duck. And I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. Maybe it's the conspiracy theorist in me or the suspicious out of me, but common sense tells me that something ain't right. And something's not right.
Well, Mr. Taylor, I agree. Something ain't right. And that's why I was so upset about it. And again,
and let me say this before you go any further. Let me say this. And you had, because this is one of the things I asked you, and you had told me that these two individuals don't know each other.
Correct.
They do not know each other. Only by a third party were they connected with each other and agreed to this transaction. So that puts even more of a red flag on it. So I know what I would do. I gave you my opinion of what I would do last night. But something's not right. Something is definitely not right.
Well, Mr. Taylor, we're going to get to the bottom of it sooner or later. The bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll tell you, I have been involved in this type of situation before as a player, not the commissioner, where I was approached at one point
if I win the championship, you know, because the person that I was going against was like, okay, well, let's just do this, that, and the third. This is the championship that I actually won $2,000 in, but was never paid. And this was, yeah, this was a couple, not a couple years ago, but several years ago. And it made me very leery of getting in money leagues with people I do not know. The problem is I know these guys. That's the problem, that I know these guys in this situation that we're talking about right now. Because if it were people I did not know, I'd just be like, you know what, bump that. You know, there is no split. Whatever it is you do, but don't come to me with it. And things like this happen in other leagues, and I'm not saying that it's a good thing, because it's not. If you decide to split your winnings, whether it's, you know, 50-50, you know, 66-33, whatever, because that's what this case is, 66-33, that's your business. That's your prerogative. But don't drag me in it, because the he say, she say becomes a big issue once
right.
the payouts happen.
Right.
Not saying either one of these individuals are unscrupulous or anything like that. Not saying that at all. But as the commissioner, I have to think on the side of caution. What if? What if? I don't want to be a part of that. What if? So with that being said,
and the fact is that one side of this came to you to make sure they get their cut, which,
correct.
Which leads me to believe that they don't trust the other side.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I think as well. That's
yeah.
what I think as well. Because,
right.
you know, if you trust the individual to make a deal with them, you know, then you should be okay with whatever it is they said. Now,
right.
if you're going to hedge your bet, so to speak, that tells me there's some second thoughts, even though you're the one that brought up the deal for the trade, you know,
mm-hmm.
or for the split, whatever the case may be.
Right.
But anyway, this is fantasy football season, and people do crazy things during fantasy football season.
Yeah.
They absolutely do. It's for the love of money. Granted, I was very disappointed that I lost, very disappointed. Kansas,
same here.
Not Kansas. Arizona and Connor Barth literally cost me a trip to the championship. Connor Barth missing one field goal, which gave me a -3, and then he kicked the extra points, what have you. So it was a positive at the end. But it's, Arizona gave up crazy yards and crazy points to Seattle in a game that should have been like a 10-13 game. But also I got hurt by Peyton Manning's 4 interceptions because Bebe didn't get the yards or receptions. Neither did Saunders and Anderson. They did their parts. They got their projected points, but I needed them to go a little bit further, along with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers got maybe 0.4 points more than what he was projected. Normally he gets me maybe 10-15 points over what he normally is projected to get. But for whatever reason, versus Tampa Bay, a team that normally would scorch, but again, it was on the road, he did not perform. So let's talk about our two games real quick, Jerry. I'm talking about my loss last week to a team that is number 5 in the seedings. I was number 1. You were number 6, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, but
yeah,
I should have easily beat this guy. And one mistake, and I told you about it yesterday, cost me getting to the championship. One position, which had really plagued me for several weeks, and that was the tight end position. And I had a choice, and I made the choice based on what happened the prior week with the Eagles. When Brent Celek had a pretty good day, I can't recall who was playing, and Mark Sanchez was feeding him the rock, and so I had a choice between playing Brent Celek in an ideal matchup against the Washington Redskins, because they were very weak against the tight end, or Zach Ertz. And Zach Ertz had been extremely inconsistent. And out of the two that I really wanted, either one of them, because I thought I could get some decent points, because Kyle Rudolph, which was my main tight end, was just killing me, and I had to go somewhere else, especially in the second round of the playoffs. And I decided to go with Brent Celek, thinking he would be more consistent than Zach Ertz. Well, what happened is Zach Ertz gets 15 receptions and over 100 yards. If I had just made that one move, I would have been in the championship right now. Regardless of how bad I had a Baltimore Ravens defense, regardless how bad they did, regardless the projections of Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger, and Antonio Brown were below was below their projections. I had made that one move and put a tight end that racked up the points that Zach Ertz did, and I had a choice, and I made the wrong choice, and it killed me. And now I'm going for a matchup against you, Mr. Gardner, for third-place money, which I plan to walk away with, as I am always the ATM, as you coined me to be that. And it happens to be so apropos that I always take money. Thus, I'm the ATM.
You know what? Always taking money. You need your Social Security check. So we're gonna bump that age up for retirement and get Social Security money a little early. Whatever. But listen, I'll be honest with you. Both of us were favorite to win our games. The person who played had a fatal flaw, even though his team made up for it. He was busy doing other things and did not realize that T.Y. Hilton was not playing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big, big part of his game plan. Fortunately for him, his quarterback, Russell Wilson, went bananas versus Arizona's defense. If that had not been the case, you would have won, because you also had Jeremy Hill going Monday night, and Jeremy Hill did extremely well for you, because it ended up being a closer game than projected. But I'll say this, Mr. Taylor. If you had won, I know I would not hear the end of any of this because of the type of person you are.
You know that. You know that. I told you I was winning it, and I made that flaw. I'll just have to live with it for until next season.
Which is fine because, I made a flaw too. I depended on I originally had in Kansas City's defense, which would have got me 8 points, 8.7 or whatever, but I still would have been short by, because Connor Barth missed the field goal. But the crazy thing about it is I'm not mad, that I didn't make it to the championship, even though I had the superior team going into the playoffs. But one thing that I did see and did understand is that you might have the key components of the highest scoring team in the NFL, but when little things don't happen and they don't perform for whatever reason, you can go from being the highest scoring team in the league to out of your playoffs. So that's why I'm not so upset about it. When it first happened, I was heated. I was very heated because I really wanted to beat my friend. But, that night the better team won.
Yep.
So when I destroy you tomorrow, I want you to understand, I don't want you to be upset. Not only is this for third place, but this is bragging rights on the show for the next season. So, with that being said, Mr. Taylor, you're going down quicker than a $2 WHORE in Bangkok, China, or Thailand.
Well,
that's just a
tongue
tying.
All I can tell you is this, Victor. You were like in two dozen leagues, and it's down to one or two leagues that maybe if that's the case that you possibly get paid on. Whereas
here we go.
I was then only in eight leagues.
Here we go.
I just got out of the eight leagues, and I'm going to look at them right now. One in Yahoo, I went to the semifinals, and I got a shot to win my money back and then some. In ESPN, I was in several leagues, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven leagues. Out of those leagues, I was in the playoffs in all but two of them, all right? All but two of them. So I was in five playoffs. I got knocked out of the playoffs in one league in the first round, went to the semifinals in let me put it this way. I got knocked out in the first round of one of them. I went to two championships, lost one, won one, and right now I'm in the process of trying to win another championship. So out of the eight leagues that I am in, only two that I did not make the playoffs, and I think that's a pretty good ratio. And I told you before, before we even got to by the end of the regular season, that one of the things that you can call me is Mr. Playoff, because if nothing else, I get in the playoffs. And if you get in the playoffs, regardless of what record you have, you got a shot. And that's all I can tell you is get yourself to the playoffs, because all my playoff runs, I've been either 7-6 and 8-6. So it doesn't make a difference. I've been either the eighth seed or even the top, not even the top seed, but I haven't been higher than the fifth or sixth seed. So it doesn't make a difference how you get into the playoffs. You just get into the playoffs, and then you can work your magic from there. And that's why they call me the master.
Are you done boring the listeners? I mean, you almost...
Well, I'm just... because the last part of it, maybe yes. But what I'm trying to say is you don't have to be 10-1. You don't have to be 9-4 or 9-2 or whatever, 9-3. You can be 7-6, depending how far you go until you get into the playoffs. You can be 8-6 and still win the championship. So,
I agree. Well, I'll tell you like this. For the entire year in my Yahoo league, that I joined one of Yahoo's generated leagues.
Mm-hmm.
I went, I believe, 11-2, number one seed, swept in the playoffs, got to the championship game, and the number four seed, who happened to be like, I think he was 8-3 or 8-5 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He beat me. Mainly because my team, Drew Brees, and a few others underperformed last week, dramatically underperformed. Because in that league, I was the only person averaging over 100 and some odd points per game. It just so happened in this game, I underperformed and with 88 points or what have you, and his team overperformed. So, yeah, it doesn't matter what your record is once you make the playoffs. Long as you get in the playoffs. And then everybody's 0-0, and it all depends on your general manager skills and performance of the players. And we talk about this a lot. But we're going to take a break.
Let me go this real quick. And of the three teams that I've either gone to the championship and won or still got a shot in the championship, my three quarterbacks are this. The two I've already been in the championship, lost one, won one. The one I won with is Mark Sanchez. The one I lost with was Tony Romo. The one I'm going in with this weekend is Russell Wilson. So it's a wide variety of quarterbacks. That's why I tell you early in the season, before the draft, you don't have to have Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers to go to the championship and win it. Go ahead, Victor. Sorry.
No, that's fine because that's a good segue. We're going to get into that right now. As a matter of fact, we're going to take a quick break when we come back. We're going to hear from Mark Trestman. We'll hear from Bruce Arians and a couple others. And Jerry's favorite coach, Sexy Rexy, on, you know, competing in the NFL and having a team out there to finish out your season. And we're going to talk about some of these playoff games that have implications. Well, not playoff games. Some of these last games of the season that have playoff implications, fantasy-wise and real, when we return. It's a really important day here in fantasy, going to the last week of the NFL season. And, you know, it's a hard-knock life, as Annie would say. But we all have to learn, and we all have to pay. We'll be back after this.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as The Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on The Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's The Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, The Master Plan.
Victor Gardner began the Fantasy Sports and Politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FSP himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports, prep you for your upcoming fantasy games, and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Hi, I'm Russell Gilchrist. When I need fantasy sports advice, I listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. FSP back at you, along with JTATM Money, a.k.a. Cash Out. And we're getting you ready for your fantasy football finale, if your league goes this long, as well as the NFL Week 17 finale. A lot of players or teams are playing for draft position, for jobs, and many, many other things. We don't know what's going to happen, but there are some coaches out there that have already packed up their offices. Namely, I'm talking about Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan has reportedly packed up his office and because he sees the writing on the wall and that he might be leaving. The report is that Charlie Casserly was contacted earlier in the week in the context of possibly coming in and helping with decisions on the GM and coaching situation. That's the report. But let's hear from Rex about loving and playing a child's game.
It's a kid's game. I know it's a multi, you know, billion dollar industry, but it's still a kid's game. And you know, I'm not good enough to coach, you know, or not good enough to play in it, but I'm good enough to coach in it. And I think that's, you know, it's great. There's no better job than the job that this is.
So, JTATM Money, your former head coach, your former ace, Mr. Toe Licker himself,
Rex Ryan will be leaving. It's the writing's on the wall. We don't know. But writing's on the wall that he will be leaving the New York Jets. Your thoughts on that and where he might land?
Oh, where he might land. Wow. Well, I think it's time for him to go. It was evident when Izik, the general manager, was hired that he had to have Rex as his head coach, and that was probably a stipulation that Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, put in to Izik that if you want to come here, Rex has to be your head coach, at least for the first year or so. It was apparent that Jets, going into this season, $20 million under the cap, and only the minimal amount of moves to get a wide receiver and to strengthen that back end of the defense that Rex likes so much, the DBs and the safeties. And the Jets pay for it. And quite naturally, if Jets pay for it, Rex pays for it. They were one of the worst passing defenses in the league because of who they had back in the DBs and safeties, the secondary. And force-fed Geno Smith and not gotten a viable alternative for a quarterback other than Michael Vick, who proved to be at times horrible to or from bad to horrible. So bad quarterback, pieces he needed it on the defense, and minimal skilled players on the offense led to a 3-12 and possibly a 3-13 season, depending on what happens this weekend. And I think he was set up from the beginning with that general manager to set up to fail. And no matter what he did, he wasn't going to be able to succeed with the type of talent he had around him. Where he lands, oh, my God, depends on who is actually out. I can't say who's out until Monday, Tuesday, or sometime next week when the hammer falls on the coaches that were on the hot seat. You have to think that Oakland is a choice, which I doubt. You have to think that I'm trying to think who else would it be. Can't be Tampa Bay. Lovey's there. Ken Whitherton, I think he's still going to be good there in Tennessee. Bradley, I think he's building something there in Jacksonville. I'm trying to think who else could be possibly on the hot seat. Or out and Rex could take his spot. Let me see. I landing spot. That's I don't know. I think for the most part.
Okay. Well,
you have to wait and see. I mean, Oakland's going to be out. It's Sperano, like I said. But depending on how these owners feel about the teams that are in the top five that are going to be eligible to get the high draft picks in 2015, if they think they're going in the right direction or they need to make a coaching change. Trestman may be on the hot seat.
I believe he is on the hot seat, but I'm going to get to him in a second. Real quick, if not a head coaching job, do you think he'll go back in as a defensive coordinator or would he rather sit at a desk and be a part of, you know, NFL Sunday morning show? Because I've heard that as well.
Well, I've heard that also that he's probably going to be offered some type of network job, and he'd probably be pretty good at it. But I think he's still hungry to be a coach, whether it's a defensive coordinator, like Jim Schwartz, or a head coach possibly going to Chicago who needs some work on the defense. And if let me put it this way, if I was to pick a spot where I would think he would be a good fit, it would be two spots, and I'm just thinking about him right now. And I see him. I'm looking at the teams that I'm thinking that he would be a good fit and a breath of fresh air. It would be San Francisco or Chicago. And if I had a choice between the two, I would go to Chicago with the offensive weapons that they have. They have a running back. They have two wide receivers. They have a dynamite tight end. The offense is got a lot of parts to it. They need quite a bit of help on their defensive side of the ball. And that's where he would have his concentration. You bring it offensive-minded, not offensive-minded, but a dynamic offensive coordinator. And he have a defensive coordinator along with himself and work his magic in Chicago. And I think because it's a major city and he has the personality of a head coach to coach in a major city, he would be a good fit in Chicago.
All right. Well, since you brought that up, let's go to Mark Trestman and see how he feels about his team finishing out the season. And maybe, you know, his feelings on how they feel about him. Here you go.
This is a group, you know, that has come to work every day focused on trying to be the best they can be, and certainly we haven't. We haven't been the best we can be this year. We're a 5-10 team going into the last game. Veterans have done a very good job. The guys who've been around and been playing have done a good job of leading the way in terms of, you know, how to meet, how to do the types of things we do under the adversity that we've been under, particularly the last month.
That doesn't sound like a very good coach to me, looking to close the season out. The reason why I say that is because he reluctantly has to go back to Jay Cutler. You know, if Jimmy Clausen was healthy, Jimmy Clausen would still be the starting quarterback. Jay Cutler goes in against Minnesota, who he hasn't done his best work against, without Brandon Marshall, and, you know, a head coach that doesn't seem to have the confidence in him, or organization to have the confidence in him. Mark Trestman, he said he's on the hot seat. Briefly, tell me why he's on the hot seat, and does he go back to the CFL? Does he stay in Chicago? Or is he just better at being an offensive coordinator like North Turner?
Better at being an offensive coordinator. Look, just listen to his demeanor. He's not the type of coach, and there's only a few of them, and they're relatively not that successful, just like the coach in Miami. You need a fiery personality. They're football players. You need a personality that's going to light a fire of them, that's going to inspire them. You don't need a Mr. Rogers as a football coach. And that's the problem. That's why I'm saying you bring a dynamic and a coach that is going to fire his players up, as in Rex Ryan. That's the type of coach you need. You need that, or you need a disciplinarian that's not going to take any mess, like a Belichick. You're not going to get Belichick quite naturally, but you need somebody like that. Someone that is going to inspire or put the fear of God in the players and bring out the best of them, including Jay Cutler, if he's going to stay there.
So I'm glad you said that, because that takes me to our next soundbite and our next head coach who's under fire, and you mentioned him earlier, and that's Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh, you know, went around saying he wanted to spend this last week getting to know his players better. I think it's a little late for that, Jim, but it's okay. Harbaugh has said he doesn't want to go, or he hasn't ruled out going to Michigan. But if Trestman's gone, there have been rumbles about him going to Chicago. But here's Harbaugh on his team finishing the season.
Last ball game of the season is go out there and show and prove that you know, there's another year of football. You know, somebody that you as a football player, you know, can play for a whole nother year. That's what you want to show. That's what you want to prove, whether you're a veteran player or a very young player.
That's the type of coaching you're saying the Bears need, Jerry, in my opinion. I think that's what you're saying. And
yeah,
it sounds like Harbaugh is willing to dominate or provide that motivation, even though he's been put in a situation where he was almost traded at the beginning of the season and still can be traded, if not fired. Harbaugh, go.
Well, there's strong indication that he is close to a deal with Michigan. In my opinion is this, I think Jim Harbaugh wouldn't be a good fit in Chicago. They need a defensive-minded coach with a strong offensive coordinator, okay, that can use of all the weapons that they have. But they need a coach that is going to have a defensive-minded mindset. So they run the ball a lot. If Jay Cutler's there, just like a lot of these successful teams that run the ball and make minimal opportunities for the quarterback to screw up. And as we all know, Jay Cutler is, to me, a Jeff George clone, a turnover waiting to happen. So you run the football a lot, you play sound defense, and you need a sound defense to do that. And Jim Harbaugh is not the one I would think. Because the fact is, he walked into the San Francisco 49ers, and most of his pieces were in place that Mike Singletary had put in place. They've been mismanaged and not managed well enough, or the voice that they were hearing from Mike Singletary didn't ring out enough. So when they had a new breath of fresh air, Jim Harbaugh made the most of the opportunity and got the most out of these guys up until this point. I think
okay.
He can. I don't think he'll be able to work that magic because he doesn't have the pieces like he had in San Francisco in place, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
That's understandable. I really think that Jim Harbaugh has that mindset of playing defense by smash mouth football. However, he saw something in Colin Kaepernick, and I told you guys this early on in the preseason, and again, you guys doubted me, but of course, I prove you wrong as usual, that they were going to a more pass-happy offense. Now, Frank Gore said that he, would put it all on Kaepernick, that Kaepernick is not his fault, and that Kaepernick, you know, he'll be back next year and be a dominant player next year and all that other stuff. But Jim Harbaugh got his glory at Stanford. He did 1 year at San Diego State, if I'm not mistaken. And he, three tight ends, fullback. He did goal line pretty much all the time. He made Toby Gerhart a Heisman Trophy candidate. Toby Gerhart can barely get 30 yards in the NFL now. And it's rare that a Heisman candidate running back does not do well in the NFL. It's very rare.
Yes.
So his mindset of playing a smash-mouth offense is his defense. And I think he can still do that with Matt Forte and still set up that passing game with the three big guys, Bennett, Marshall, and Jeffries. Now, if this Wilson kid steps up, they won't even need a fullback because then they can go three wide, a tight end, and a running back if they want as their base offense. I really believe that this 49er defense and 49er team struggled because there was a shift in philosophy, not a shift in his coaching, but a shift in philosophy. Now, whose decision was it to go to a more pass-happy offense? I don't know. But I know Jim Harbaugh didn't have any say in gaining personnel. You know, he didn't say, go get me Brandon Lloyd.
Yeah,
you know, he didn't say.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying about the pieces he got, including Stevie Johnson. I understand that. But it's the head coach that sets the philosophy. It's the head coach that says that in past seasons that got us to three straight championships and one Super Bowl. We are a defensive team that runs the ball and passes it when necessary. But we run the football. We run the football. For some reason, like you had predicted, and I admit you were right. The philosophy changed, and they started throwing the ball and not running the football as much. But when they did run the football, when they dedicated themselves to running football, they were successful doing it. But for whatever reason, for whatever mind fart or whatever, they decided not to stay with that and decided to put the ball in Kaepernick's hands and have him try to throw the football all over the field, which you and I both seen with a lot of other people that watched the 49ers play over the past season, that is not a good formula to win. And that's the formula that they decided to go with, and now they're on the outside looking in. On the playoff picture.
And for that purpose, I look and say Greg Roman, he's the offensive play caller. I know the head coach has a lot of say in it, but he can't or does not, in my opinion, tell Roman what to call every down. And that's why the GM's daughter went on social media saying that Greg Roman needs to be fired and all that stuff. She didn't say Harbaugh. She said Greg Roman. But anyway, we're going to do one more coach, and then we're going to take a break and come back and get into a couple games. But, a coach can make big decisions in the lives of their players. They can make and break careers. And we're talking about Trestman. We're talking about Rex. We're talking about Jim and how they've are finishing up their 10 years at their current organizations. Well, this coach I'm going to talk about right now, he's been a stellar coach. And to me, and hopefully you get the analogy, Jerry, he's the Bill Clinton of the NFL. I'm talking about Bruce Arians. He's a winner. When he was in Pittsburgh, did his thing. Left Pittsburgh, didn't want to leave Pittsburgh, but left Pittsburgh and went to Indianapolis. Did his thing when Chuck Pagano got sick, took over, won Coach of the Year. Goes to Arizona. What did he do his first season in Arizona? Turned into a 10-win team. Second year in Arizona, oh boy, next man up. I mean, everybody's hurt on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And they're down to their third and fourth stringers. And Cool Hand Luke, Bruce Arians, Mr. Kango himself, Mr. I'm going to talk to you like I can talk to you because, you know, I'm from the street too, even though I'm not. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to start Logan as quarterback. Oops, he had a terrible practice. Nah, he's not starting. It's going to be Lindley again. So let's hear from Bruce Arians on starting Lindley.
We will start Ryan Lindley in the ball game strictly because of the evaluation process of during the week. He's going to give us a better chance to win this game. I think, like I said earlier, Logan's going to be a hell of a player one of these days, but right now he's not ready. And, there's really no news on Drew other than he's on schedule for next week.
Well, that also came out before the news of Drew Stanton getting his knee scoped and being out for the rest of the season. And here's the deal. You know, Carson Palmer is scheduled to come back next year as a quarterback. He signed an extension, and he's going to be the quarterback next year. So Lindsey's doing an audition, and Stanton, I guess, won the right to be the number two. So Logan next year is going to be fighting for that number three spot and possibly the future of the franchise. So, as I said, my version, or who I think is the Bill Clinton of the NFL, and Jerry, I think you know why. Bruce Arians says, we're going to win this thing without third stringer regardless, and I'm not changing my play calling. Is that the type of swagger, or is that the type of leadership that you're saying the Jets, the Bears, the 49ers need, or is it more on the lines of this guy just, he knows what he's doing as a head coach, and he put the proper people in the proper place to get the best out of each individual? What is your take on Bruce Arians?
He's absolutely one of my favorite coaches, man. I loved him and his offense. I said that, and I'm surprised that, and because Carson Palmer got hurt. But Bruce Arians' offense with Carson Palmer is a winning formula. He likes to put the ball down the field and make splash plays, and he has the wide receivers to do it with Michael Floyd, John and Jaron Brown, and with Larry Fitzgerald. Hell of a coach, three different stops, and always his offense has always performed well, always. So that just goes to tell you he's got the coaching chops to do what he needs to do, and he's got dedication from his players because he straight talk, man. He's not from the street, but he talks street. Let me put it that way, and the players love him for that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And breaking news, ladies and gentlemen, breaking news, Josh Gordon has been suspended by the team for violating team rules. Benjamin Bates has been signed or brought up to the active roster of the Cleveland Browns to Phil Bates, I'm sorry, has been added to the roster. This is happening. It actually happened at the beginning of our show at 10:44 Pacific time. So Josh Gordon, again, is out for this upcoming game. For those that were hoping to do some fantasy damage with him or, you know, something like that, he is out. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, our last 30 minutes of the show, we're going to discuss some key upcoming games and their fantasy impact, as well as real-life impact on NFL. And we might jump into a little NBA action as well. It's a little frustrating. I was doing well in some FanDuel and DraftKings, and then last night two of my big dogs decided they didn't want to play DeMarcus Cousins and Aldridge from Portland because I was on my way to winning some big-time money, but it didn't happen. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, 6 days with me, it's your boy FSP, along with JT18 and Money, doing what we do always for you. It's FSP Saturday Edition, Fantasy Sports and Politics with me. It's me, Mr. FSP, to you. See you in a minute.
Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts, Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
With a breakdown of Sunday NFL games, Lance, the NFL exporter Goodman, points out the good, the bad, and the ugly of the predictions made on the Master Plan. Getting you ready for Monday Night Football, Lance brings you the extra point. During the NFL season, Lance comes to you live from blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well.
with a growing following, jump on board for the Extra Point with Lance Goodman at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can also check him out on The Master Plan with Jerry Taylor at 10 a.m. Eastern. Information, motivation, variety.
Hi, I'm Russell Gilchrist. When I need fantasy sports advice, I listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. FSP along with JTHM. My name is bringing it to you only as we can. And I want to welcome you back to the Fantasy Sports and Politics Show, Saturday edition. We've got 30 minutes left in the show, and I want to invite you, if you want to call in or dial in, 347-637-3220. As we get ready to talk about the final week of the NFL and some key games, if you're still in the playoffs or in your fantasy playoffs, these games we're going to talk about, you probably have some players in it, and how important they are to you. Still to come, we're going to hear from Randall Cobb. We're going to hear from, oh, my goodness, I forgot, Randall Cobb. That's it, Randall Cobb. Because we heard from everybody else on their game. Since I brought up Randall Cobb, let's talk about that game right there. Green Bay at Detroit. Now, at the top of the show, we talked about how Jerry and I missed our fantasy playoffs based upon some decisions, either our players underperforming or some roster move decisions that we did not make. Randall Cobb has been on fire as of late for the Green Bay Packers, since Jordy Nelson has been having the dropsies. Well, they go into this game, which is a very important game for the NFC North Division title and possibly the number two seed in the NFL or the NFC playoffs. Well, let's hear from Mr. Cobb about how he and the offense plan to work.
I think our offense has been executing at a higher level than we did when we played them the first time. We found our identity, and you know, we've been able to have success throughout the season. And it's just totally not different team, but we know who we are and we know what we're capable of.
And this is referring to the first game of the season when Green Bay went to Detroit and lost that game. It was a very close game, even though really it wasn't. It ended up being a close scoring game, but the Detroit Lions dominated the Green Bay Packers in that game. Also, a couple weeks later, Aaron Rodgers' infamous radio interview, just relax and everything will come back together, and that's what's going on. Jerry, in this game, let's break it down real quick. I'll take Green Bay and you take Detroit. Important because you've got a running back in Eddie Lacy that is, you know, a bull in the china closet, so to speak, and he's finding his legs yet again. Aaron Rodgers, calf issue, sick issue, all this other mess. Not too confident in his receivers. He's throwing a lot to number 14. I can remember his name. I think his last name is Adams. And giving him opportunities, but he's continually not showing up. Randall Cobb is getting used more and more in the backfield as their, option running back, even though they don't run an option. You've got Jordy Nelson dropping balls, but they're indoors. They're on AstroTurf, so the weather can't be an issue. His concentration should be squarely on catching the ball. And then you look at the defense, and that offensive line is makeshift pretty much. But if you look at the defense at how – Detroit is at a big disadvantage. Their starting center has been suspended for a game for his stomp on the ankle of the Chicago Bear player. So for the first time in over 5,600 snaps, Stafford's going to have a new center. And that means that Green Bay's defense is probably going to target up the middle of that Detroit offense. I see a great deal of fantasy goodness in this game, especially if you're a FanDuel or DraftKings or something like that, or if you're a championship. I think being in Green Bay, Oh, I said it was indoors, didn't I? It's outdoors, my bad. Being in Green Bay, in the elements, this is going to be a heavy Eddie Lacy game. Heavy, heavy Eddie Lacy game. And possibly maybe one or two touchdowns from Aaron Rodgers. With Joe Bell being injured and all that, you don't know what's going on with him because last week he didn't play until the second quarter in Chicago. And that hurt me big time, too, in my playoff game. But I see Green Bay winning the 23rd straight game at home versus Detroit Lions. Fantasy goodness all around in this game. You have the word.
I'll take Detroit. And Matthew Stafford is only thrown for 246 yards and didn't even throw for a touchdown the first time the Packers visited played the Detroit Lions in Detroit. He had two interceptions, and the Detroit's only scored 19 points and he had just one touchdown. So Matthew Stafford has not been the Matthew Stafford that most people would think they were getting when they first drafted him back in the draft season, August, September, whatever, whenever you drafted. And he's been pretty shaky over the last few weeks. Quite naturally, you're going to play Calvin Johnson, but I would temper my expectations, especially when the temperature is going to be in the 20s at game time, that the indoor Detroit Lions are going to go down again against the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau Field. I don't think they're going to be able to run too well in this. I know the Green Bay defense is top 15. I say it's top 15, preventing fantasy points against the running back. They're also the top 15 in preventing fantasy points against the quarterback. You may get good fantasy points from the Detroit Lions, but I'm not guaranteeing it. I don't see it. I think Detroit's going to have a Detroit fans are going to have a disappointing night against the Green Bay Packers, and that streak, that 20 over 20 year old streak, is going to stay intact. Quite naturally, if you got these guys and they brought you to this point in the championship, you have to play them. But I would say, other than Calvin Johnson, I would temper my expectations on Joy Bell, Golden Tate, and definitely Matthew Stafford. And I also like Green Bay in this game.
Let's move on to another game that's actually you winning your in and you lose and you go home. The battle of the worst division in the NFL. Some of the NFC South, Atlanta, and Carolina. Carolina has a chance to do something that has never been done in the history of the NFC South, which is be back-to-back winners of the division. They are on the road in Atlanta, where the Dirty Birds have not been as dominant as they have in the past. I'll take Atlanta. I'll give you Carolina. Matty Ice has been the hottest quarterback over the past 3 weeks, and it's showing that he does not want to melt. The problem is this. They just lost Steven Jackson for this game. So Jacquez Rogers is scheduled to start, with Devontae Freeman being sprinkled in as the change of pace back or the third down back. Devontae Freeman is very, very, very explosive. Jacquez Rogers is going to get the ball a lot as well, as they're going to try to run against that Carolina defense. Carolina's defense has stepped up just a little bit as of late. So has Atlanta. Atlanta has made a commitment to stopping the run. Stopping the pass, not so much. But stopping the run, they had done a good enough job with that. Julio Jones is hurt, but he's going to make a go of it, along with Roddy White and Harry Douglas. The problem I see in this game is these teams normally play close. They normally play close. And it always comes down to, like, the last play of the game, either field goal or last second touchdown.
No Steve Smith yet. Calvin Benjamin on opposite side. I think he's going to do well against Trufant and Atlanta secondary. But fantasy-wise, Matty Ice is a play for you if you're going to your championship game, going against that Carolina secondary. I think he's one of the better plays. If you're talking about these teams that are in the playoffs or if you're in the fantasy playoffs, that you can probably do well against or do well with. I think Josh Quez Rogers is going to surprise a lot of people and get in the end zone quite a bit, maybe two or three times. I know Jerry's going to talk about Jonathan Stewart, how he's been hot as well, but I think Josh Quez Rogers is going to outshine him just a little bit. I don't think it's going to be a big, big passing day for Julio Jones because he's dealing with the injury, but I think he's going to be a big part of the game plan. Maybe not as impactful, but a big part of it. I think Roddy White's going to be the most impactful of the wide receivers for Atlanta. JT, you've got – oh, and I'm going to pick Atlanta to win this game. You've got Carolina, and the floor is yours.
Cam Newton is going to go off in this game. besides him throwing for a couple of touchdowns, I think he runs about 60 to 70 yards. I think he's going to run about 60 to 70 yards. And he's incorporated that back into his game. So the running of Jonathan Stewart, who's going to be starting because D'Angelo Williams, I don't believe, is going to be playing. If he does, he's going to play sparingly. For the simple fact is Jonathan Stewart has been balling out. Like Jonathan Stewart in this game against a very weak Atlanta defense against the run. Calvin Benjamin's going to get his in this game. Atlanta's defense is one of the worst in the league against the pass and the run. I don't care if they're playing home or not. I think this is the game that's going to be in the 20s. I see the passing game being effective also in this game. If Cam Newton can keep himself together and throw the ball to his two primary targets, which is Kelvin Benjamin and Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen was a missing person last week, which killed me in my one of my fantasy championships. But I think he's going to be a strong target for Cam Newton. I do have to say this, that in Atlanta, one of the best things they do against the skill positions is defend the tight end. They are top 10 in defending the tight end. But if you have somebody like Greg Olsen, he has been a stud for the greater part of the fantasy season. Now he's in the playoffs and you have him, then you got to play him. Atlanta in this to win this.
All right, let's move on. We got about 10 minutes left alive there. Oh, excuse me, 15 minutes left alive there. Let's go on to another game that has pretty decent size implications, and that is, let's do this. Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Cincinnati has a chance. They've made the playoffs. They have a chance to win the division and not be a wild card team, whereas Pittsburgh, they're in as well, but one of these teams is going to be a wild card. One of these teams is going to be a division winner and get a home game. Here's the deal. I think Cincinnati sucks at home. They had a very good game versus Denver when they subbed out Terrence Newman for Jenkins, and it showed. They played a little better. But I don't think the home field advantage is going to be good enough for them in the playoffs. I'll take
Cincinnati's on the road.
I know, but I'm saying in the playoffs.
Okay.
If Cincinnati wins, they get a home game. If Pittsburgh wins, they get the home game.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm looking at is I'll take Pittsburgh, you have Cincinnati. Ben Roethlisberger and his – you know what? I can't do that because I know you have your man crush on all three. I'll take Cincinnati, you take Pittsburgh. Jeremy Hill has, turned into the guy. In Cincinnati, I think Giovanni Bernard's one-year wonder last year is going to be relegated to the third down back
or the change of pace back next year. As Hill has decided, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. And he can run against this Pittsburgh defense. They are very, very porous versus stopping the run and the pass. Cincinnati actually was winning handily their first matchup. For whatever reason, they let them back in the game, and Pittsburgh came back and won. I think they'll come with the same intensity. I don't like Andy Dalton in this game. A.J. Green is banged up. His arm's messed up. So a surprise play, and you can get him cheaply if you're a FanDuel draft team. And if you're in need of a tight end, is Jermaine Gresham. He got targeted a lot this past Monday night, and I look for that to continue tomorrow. The difference is Pittsburgh's a little bit better at covering the tight end. Not much better, but a little bit better. For that reason, I think they're going to have to lean on the run game and Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard. It's a Hugh Jackson theme. Run the ball. And Taylor Mays, a converted strong safety who really can't cover anybody, is now a linebacker, a starting linebacker for Cincinnati. I don't think that's a good move, and I think it's going to be hurtful for them. Cincinnati loses this game, and the only fantasy value I see in this game is Mr. Hill. JT, you got Pittsburgh. Take it away.
Steelers are on a three-game winning streak that started in Week 14 against the Bengals. They've scored 30 points or more in all but two home games this year, posted 42 points in Cincinnati. Roethlisberger threw for 350 yards and three scores in Week 14 against the Bengals. Le'Veon Bell has been on a scoring streak for five games and scored eight times over that period, along with maintaining a 100-plus total in yards in all but last week. He ran for 185 yards on 26 carries against Cincinnati. He had six catches for 50 yards and a score as a receiver. I don't give any chance of Cincinnati winning this. Just by the simple fact that the one stat I gave you, they've scored 30 points or more in all but two home games this year. Ben Roethlisberger loves playing at home. I don't have the stat on how many 300-yard games he's thrown for at home, but I can tell you the two back-to-back six-touchdown games he's had was at home. Le'Veon Bell is going to go off in this game against Cincinnati, who doesn't really play the run that well. Wide receiver, they're top five. But on the road, Andy Dalton and company, Antonio Brown is a beast that I've been talking about for years, and he's going to continue his domination. I think it's 5 and 50 yards and a touchdown. I think that's probably what his average is. Then they have the home run hitter who took the place of Emmanuel Sanders and Martavius Bryant. I see him hitting on one of those long balls. He doesn't get a lot of targets, but the targets he gets, there's at least one of them that's a nice splash play that can get him into the end zone. So I really like the Pittsburgh Steelers, and to me this is a no-brainer. I don't think the Cincinnati Bengals, even though they won a big-time game last week, is going to be able to duplicate that, especially with A.J. Green a little on the banged-up side. I like Pittsburgh in double digits to win this.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got about 10 minutes left alive there before we go off the air. That's going to wrap it up for our fantasy outlook and some of the games that have implications for you fantasy-wise as well as the NFL playoffs. Yes, Arizona and San Fran have an implication, but not as big as some of the games that we mentioned. We're going to move real quickly to NBA, and I want to talk about a couple things that are going on, Jerry. Jalen Rose, Rose from Chicago. He said Derrick Rose, 2 games back-to-back of 25 points. It looks like he's back in the groove. Coupled with Pau Gasol and Jimmy Butler and the rest of the gang up there in Chicago, could Chicago be the real team to beat in the NBA? And the struggles of Cleveland, especially losing Anderson Varejao and no real big man out there to help them, could they be looking at a disappointment this year? Those two teams, you had it.
Chicago and Cleveland. Cleveland's got to get to find a big man that they can count on to hopefully try to make up for losing Varejao. And that's going to be a process. I don't think they have anyone on the roster right now. So they're going to have to probably move some talent to get talent. A big man to take the spot of Varejao because he's out for the season. Chicago? No. Chicago's not the best team in the NBA. Play anyone for the championship, especially OKC with a healthy OKC lineup or the San Antonio Spurs or even or the Golden State Warriors, or even the Houston Rockets. Those are four West teams, and I think in a seven-game series, if Chicago would go up against them, wouldn't have a chance. They'd be competitive, but in a seven-game series, they would come on the short end. So even though that Chicago's showing some life, especially with Derrick Rose, playing better and looking like he's healthier, they still have a long way to go to compete if they ever get to the chance of facing one of the four teams that I talked about in the NBA championship. I think the West is still going to have the winner of the NBA championship come out of that. The East has got a long way to go for that to happen. So,
well, I kind of disagree with you on that, but you know,
right,
it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We won't have enough time for me to disagree on it, but I'll say that I think I honestly think this too, that you've got a couple of hard teams in the East that can compete with OKC. That can compete with Memphis. But it all depends on how they finish out the season. You know what I mean? Like right
mm-hmm.
now, Toronto is on top. Atlanta's on top. So they're playing very good team basketball. But can they sustain that throughout the season? Like in Toronto, Damon Lillard, not Lillard, but Lowry and the gang, they're putting together a pretty good set of teams or rosters versus some of the good players and good teams in the NBA, not just the West. Granted, you got the Clippers in the West, you got Dallas in the West and all these other cats, but I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance that one of these teams currently up there, and I'm going to be a homer, the Wizards, can and Chicago give the West a run for their money. That's just my opinion. I might not be right, but it's still my opinion. JTHN Money, you got anything you want to put out there before we roll?
No, I'm good.
You're good? Well, ladies and gentlemen,
I just saw your email that about scheduling shows, so.
Yeah. So we got to get on that. But, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to conclude our NFL regular season shows as we gear for the playoffs. Just a side note, I'm not sure when, but I believe that the extra point will be going on hiatus after the playoffs, and I'll be back in the summertime. But the master plan is going to air, I believe, every Sunday until JT decides not to, along with his co-host Lance NFL Explorer Goodman. We'll see what happens with that. However, I do not want to be the damper on anyone's parade because our programs are very, very good. If you like our programs, you can always listen to any episode you want right here on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can comb through our archive and see what you want to hear. Especially go back to the summer episodes when we broke down every NFL division. We broke them down. See what we were right about, see what we were wrong about. You can always go to spotonradio.webs.com to listen to the week in review shows of everything we posted. I'm also going to list all of our breakdowns of our divisions on there as well. Jerry did pretty much all of those while I was out this summer. So I can't guarantee you the quality of the show being that good, but, you know, we'll see.
Thanks. That was a nice backhanded slap, but that's okay. That's okay.
I had to.
I know you did.
But, again, we help you get where you need to be for your NFL season, fantasy-wise, and that's why we're so good at what we do when people come to us every year asking for help. It never fails. You can always follow me, Mr. FSP, on Twitter at Fan Sports and Paul. That's FanSportAndPol on Twitter. And you also got at MagicMan1957. That would be JTATM Money.
54.
Whatever, he's still old, 54. At MagicMan1954 on Twitter as well. And listen, we have a gang of shows Sunday through Saturday for you to listen to. So enjoy, we do what we do, and Merry belated Christmas, and I hope everyone has a Happy New Year coming in. JTATM Money, next week, we're going to break down my victory over you and whatever else comes about. What you got to say about that?
All I got to say is payment after I gain my winnings, whether it's in ESPN or the matchup against you and I in Yahoo.
Whatever. All right, guy. For everybody out there listening to the program, thank you. See you next week. You've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking Fantasy Sports.